Hi, this is Ilka Cassidy with Passive House Accelerator, and thanks for tuning in to the special episode of the Passive House podcast. We'll be talking about Reimagine Buildings 24, a 24-hour around-the-world global online conference. Today, I'll be speaking with Vincent Martinez of Architecture 2030, who is a featured speaker at Reimagine Buildings 24.
Hello, everyone. My name is Vincent Martinez. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer for Architecture 2030. Architecture 2030 is a think tank focused on rapidly decarbonizing the global built environment, from the primary contributor to greenhouse gas emissions and the climate crisis to a central part of the solution.
Right. And you're going to be a speaker at our Reimagine Building 24 event in hour 14. And I'm really, really excited about it because it's also the hour that I am hosting. So I'm excited about the whole 24 hours, but definitely specifically hour 14. Can you tell us a little bit more about your presentation?
Absolutely. So I'll be giving a bit of a history lesson about how over the last 100 years, the birth of the modern movement has led us into the challenges that we face today on decarbonizing the built environment, and that those came out of a set of planning and design principles led by the International Congress of Modern Architecture and leading architects and planners at the time. But it had a lot of unforeseen consequences, and it came from a good place, and that we need a new vision and a set of principles to define the next 100 years for decarbonization, and that those principles should be beyond building and design principles, but into urban planning as well, just like they were in the Congress for Modern Architecture. So I'll be giving a little bit of a history lesson and recognizing that sometimes we have to go back to the future, meaning we have to look at some of our heritage and indigenous knowledge about the way we did things prior to the modern movement and integrate those with our next phase of design and development.
That's great. And I think it really integrates with some of the other presentations that we have in that hour, where we're looking at passive house or sustainable building practice in general all over the world, in part relating back to vernacular architecture, which I feel like is so important that we don't forget what we've already learned. So I'm really, really excited about your presentation. How do you reimagine buildings?
Well, a big part of our job at Architecture 2030 has been around the title of think tank. We have the luxury, the opportunity, and the responsibility to spend a lot of time thinking about these issues about how to decarbonize the built environment. And we continually evolve in that thinking. When we first got started nearly 20 years ago, our sole focus was really on operating emissions, reducing, you know, through energy efficiency, and then eventually through building electrification of systems and renewable energy to generate the power. Very quickly, we recognized that there were other issues involved in the built environment, like embodied carbon and the associated emissions with building materials and construction and demolition. And just as that part of that evolution is reimagining or reinventing buildings, is questioning the need for buildings, new buildings, and recognizing what we have already built as both embodied carbon investments and opportunities to reduce emissions and that bring culture and heritage with it. So that's a sort of a question about reimagining what we mean by buildings as a verb, but also recognizing buildings as, you know, not islands in a larger landscape, and that the urban planning principles, the way that zoning applies to how buildings are designed and built through policy, affects their ability to decarbonize. And actually, at that scale and the transect, we have a lot more opportunity to set trajectories about reducing emissions for buildings, but also for infrastructure, and recognizing the importance of the exterior built environment, of not just our roads and bridges and transit corridors, but our open spaces and other right-of-ways and things in between buildings that all contribute not just to emissions, but to the livelihood and equity of people. And by built environment here, we mean all things that are designed and built by practitioners and professionals in design. So that's practitioners that include architects, which is our namesake because that's where we came from. But it also recognizes our allied disciplines, including landscape architecture, urban planners, as I mentioned, civil engineers, all engineers, actually, you know, structural, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, et cetera. we're all part of designing the greater built environment. And so we made a concerted effort to shift from buildings to the built environment over the last decade and really embrace the efforts that are going on by our allied professionals in all different fields. I'm actually trained as a civil engineer, whereas many of my colleagues are architects. And we've always recognized the importance of planning principles and of incorporating a broader holistic vision. Sometimes I think it's not to our benefit that our name is Architecture 2030 because folks think we're solely focused on architecture, but architecture is a fundamental piece of all of this. And architects are well aligned to bring in, they lead a lot of building projects, they bring in the allied disciplines, they work collaboratively. And we just need, if we do that on complex projects, if the larger design firms are interdisciplinary, if larger projects are interdisciplinary, shouldn't the largest project that we're trying to accomplish, climate change reduction and adaptation, be interdisciplinary?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. So, and it can become even broader, right? Looking at animals, right? Creating corridors for them to move through cities as well. I mean, it's not about just humans and their built environment. It's kind of looking at all living beings, including, of course, plants, right? Because they are crucial to our survival, of course, as well, and incorporating them more into the built environment, into the cities. So it's definitely very clear that all has to work together.
And that's been an interesting point because we focus primarily on the climate crisis. But in parallel, we're running into a biodiversity crisis. And you hear that at the UN level, international level. And there's sort of an idealization that those things are happening outside of the built environment, that that we're going to solve biodiversity by making sure we have appropriate land use. And that's true. All those things are important. But so much of that happens within our urban built environments as well. And looking at nature-based solutions within the urban built environment that are have multiple benefits. They increase biodiversity, they support water retention and distribution, sort of the resiliency aspects, and they're inherently lower embodied carbon by building and designing with nature and leading with nature. But you're right that they're also really important planning principles that make its way into open spaces, habitat corridors, to make sure that we're letting nature in and working with it and the broader biodiversity, and we're not stifling it and controlling it.
Yeah, and that accounts for the right planning, but also using the right materials on our buildings. I mean, bird-safe glazing is a big, big topic right now. And I feel like it's something that hasn't been completely solved yet with mm-hmm. products that are available. Mm-hmm. So the other interesting thing about you is also that you went to the COP event, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that as well?
Sure. COP stands for Conference of Parties, and this was COP28. It was hosted in Dubai in very end of November, start of December of 2023. And it was focused on a variety of topics around climate policy, international negotiations. But what's been interesting over the last, I think it's been seven COPs, so starting around COP21 in Paris, where the Paris Agreement was signed, is that it's really been open to what they call non-state actors, so essentially the public in certain aspects, but also observer organizations like ours, which is a 501c3 NGO, can go and participate and talk. And you also have private businesses and others. And you hear a lot of criticism about that in the media, about fossil fuel lobbyists coming and populating COP. But everything can't be boiled down to headlines. And when you actually go and experience being with 100,000 people from all over the world, who are working on climate from a variety of different perspectives, it's both humbling and empowering at the same time. And many of those folks are NGOs and or are volunteers or youth that are working on this topic. And what we find is that the built environment, for the most part, is very isolated in those conversations. There were some really big, important announcements in Dubai around buildings. There was something called the Buildings Breakthrough, which has been in development over the last few years, but is essentially a number of countries, and I'll get you the exact number, for the presentation around the world have signed on to this buildings breakthrough and are working to get their building sectors to decarbonize and having zero carbon or near zero carbon, I think, or zero energy, I can't remember exactly their term, by 2030 being the norm, and then phasing out fossil fuels in the built environment by 2050. And so that's a big commitment, something that we've been doing in a variety of sectors and private sector leadership for a while, but to say at the highest levels of these countries that they're going to do that is really important. The other piece that came out of COP28 was the Loss and Damage Fund, which is, if anybody's been following this, it's the recognition that the larger polluting countries should have to pay some sort of reparations to support the development of resiliency for those that have not been contributing to the climate crisis and yet are receiving the brunt of their impacts. And so there's a lot of argument. We could spend an entire time talking about the Loss and Damage Fund, but the fact that it exists now, although meager as it is in a really important mechanism to help understand how do we not only pay for the pollution that we've created in the global north, mostly, but also how does that new development and resiliency happen in those rapidly developing regions that are experiencing this, and how do they not only withstand the climate impacts, but how do they do so without adding to the problem?
Yeah, no, it's great to hear a little bit of the insight because, yeah, like almost everyone else, I just saw the headlines. And I did like that the fund was created, but I do know that there was quite a bit of criticism on how much was actually given to it.
Rightly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But it's a good start, and I'm really, really excited about your presentation and seeing you in a few days, I guess. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ilka. Looking forward to the presentation and seeing all of you and spending 24 hours.
Awesome. Are you going to stay up?
I will be in different time zones, so it's going to be challenging, but we'll try to see.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ilka.
Thanks for tuning in to this special episode of the Passive House podcast, featuring some upcoming guests for our Reimagine Buildings 24, happening on March 7th and 8th. Reimagine Buildings is a global online conference that will provide information, connections, and inspiration to make buildings that can change the world. Over the course of 24 hours, we'll circumnavigate the globe, unveiling a new innovative building project every hour, complete with actionable solutions and lessons from around the world. Also earn AIA credits. RB24 live program sessions will be submitted for AIA CEs in partnership with AIA New York State. And for students, check out our scholarships and special student discounts. Many thanks to NYSERDA for being the stakeholder sponsor of RB24. Register now for Reimagine Buildings 24 and use the promo code PODCAST for a 20% discount.